gathered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
With honesty of heart, let us confess our sins.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
reading from Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. But the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespass and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And he took Peter aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Indeed, also, those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
WWJD. I wonder what that means. For the choir, that probably means, "What would Jim do?" Well, for Jim, it probably means, "What would Janet do?" Well, Or for Tim Campbell, what would Jan do? You never. WWJD, really. Several years ago, in a galaxy far away, I was leading a synodical assembly in the north, not here. And different folks, particularly we were working with youth, were wearing WWJD bracelets. Lutheran Student Movement, nobody has those, right? WWJD? Okay. And we were looking at this particular text and the same one that Matthew describes and trying to figure out what that really meant. Because there were folks in those olden days of yore who would be asking, what would Jesus do regarding, there were even articles, would Jesus buy an SUV because of gas mileage? Would Jesus, in the Olympics, have the American flag draped over his shoulder? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus have pew cushions or spend that money for the homeless? Another question was, would Jesus put kneelers in front of the altar, or would he use that money to work with lepers? What would Jesus do? Would he marry this person or that person? Well, he probably wasn't married, but what would Jesus do? And so those questions permeated everything. And folks who had a belief on this side would say, Jesus would do this. And folks who had a particular moral belief or national belief on this side said, Jesus would do this. And folks who were part of World War II and World War I would say, golly gee whiz, Batman, the German armies had chaplains as well, and they were Christian. And there were some Lutherans who actually were pro-Hitler. And there were many Lutherans who were pro-Kaiser. What would Jesus do? If you're a church council, what would Jesus do regarding common cup? Would Jesus have a common cup for everybody to drink out of, or would Jesus have the small little shot glasses? And would those small little shot glasses be plastic or glass? Or would Jesus use the wipe? Did he use the wipe in the Last Supper to go around? What would Jesus do? And that became so really miserably unimportant and unhealthy that I think that whole question became passé. People began to forget that. However, I think that what would Jesus do still is an important question if we look at the real Bible that tells us exactly what Jesus did, is doing, and will continue to do. And I'm glad you're going to take notes, because this will be on the test next Sunday. Think about it. This can be a guide for your own personal life, your own decisions, your own council meeting, your own. But here is a good way to look at that. Here is the midterm exam that Jesus is giving to the disciples in our text today. First, you know, hey, we've been wandering around here for a couple of months, probably close to 6 months now. Who do all these people say that I am? I wonder if they got it. Oh, you're John. They say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets, and they name him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy. Well, you've been with me all this time. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, and Matthew, it's even better. You can hear his voice get low. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Like that. This is in Mark. He doesn't say it quite that way. He says, you are the Messiah, but means I am right. Ooh, 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 I know, teacher, I know exactly. But he was only part right. Because the Messiah, and then later he says Son of Man, for most of the followers in Palestine at that time, was a superhero, Justice League guy, who would ride a white horse, sword in his mouth, come down from heaven, followed by angel armies to wipe out, at that point it was the Romans. Before that it was the Greek Seleucids and Alexander the Great's army, who would burn things on the temple steps and spill blood. So that was the Messiah, the Son of Man. So that was partly right, Jesus as Messiah, but they didn't get the whole picture. So this is 6 months into his year-long ministry, or at least halfway into his year-long ministry. So Jesus said, okay, you got that right, but don't tell anybody. This begins Jesus' show-and-tell ministry, the journey of Lent. Jesus, show and tell if you have to. So he began to teach his disciples. So here's what the first point in your notes. What would Jesus do? Number one is join the journey. Join the journey. Join the Christian life. Or here, where's the journey? Where's Jesus going to end up in 6 months? Jerusalem. Join the journey with the pilgrims who are faithful. Join the journey of the faithful. Become part of Lutheran student movement at the Citadel. Become part of campus ministry. Join an honor guard for homeless veterans. Join the journey. What does that look like actually in our own lives? Well, the Christian journey involves regular prayer and scripture reading and serving. Prayer, scripture reading, and serving, and meditating. For Lutherans, it's hard because that usually means letting God be the subject of verbs. And that's very difficult for Lutherans. We can talk about our church and our structured belief system, but it's difficult for us old Lutherans to let God be the subject of verbs in prayer, Bible reading, meditation, serving. Hard. So in part of what your decision is as a family, as a person, as a council, join the journey for God's sake. Jesus did, and so did the disciples. Second, what's next in your text? Well, suffer and be rejected. Expect on that journey suffering and some rejection. Oh yeah, how many here have never experienced any suffering in your life or in your family? You can put up your hands. Oh yeah. Huh. What would Jesus do? Join the journey and expect suffering and some rejection. Wear the uniform of a Citadel cadet and walk downtown Columbia or on the campus of USC. Is everybody going to love you and say, oh, that's awesome? Probably not. Where have you suffered? Where is the pain? The next thing, be killed. Be killed. Think about those who have given their lives, literally. It's at Fort Jackson recently, and you can see at Fort Jackson a statue of four chaplains who, on a ship that was torpedoed in the ocean in the Second World War, there were some soldiers on the ship, a troop ship, who didn't have any life jackets and survival equipment, and these four chaplains gave up their life jackets and all their other survival equipment gear for the soldiers, and these four chaplains died. What about the folks on the airplane that was meant to go to Washington and destroy the White House? They were in an airplane above Pennsylvania, and they said, let's roll, and they gave up their lives. What about the security guard in Florida who shielded students? Not all of us are called to do that, but we might. What about being killed to sin? Why do you think I stand in the back there of the church when we do confession? It's a reminder of a daily dying and rising that's baptism. When you wash your face, Luther said, remember your baptism. Remember, what did we say at Ash Wednesday, those of you here? Remember you are dust. We're going to die. And to dust you shall return. Be killed. So what's point one? Join the journey for God's sake. Number two, expect locusts to happen. Expect bad things to happen. Expect that there will be some suffering and some rejection on that journey. Next, be ready, that's point three, be killed. Be ready to give up. Held tightly understandings of reality. He's an idiot, she's a moron, he can't do this. Why, they, especially they, aren't as good as we are. They don't understand. They are damned to hell. They are, Be ready for rejection. Be ready to give up hard, tightly held ideals. Be ready to die, because every day we do. And finally, what's the coolest part of this whole journey? Point four, write it. Yeah. I don't see anybody writing, Judy. They're probably just memorizing. Oh, thanks, Connie. Good, Connie. Yeah, but can you read your own writing, Connie? Oh, well. Okay. Rise again in 3 days. Baptism, daily dying, and rising. Boy, isn't it cool that we have family promise starting on Easter Sunday. Wow. Rise again. And that's what this whole ministry is about, helping people rise from misery to places of honor again. Okay, what would Jesus do? Join the journey, for God's sake. Suffer, be rejected, be killed, and rise again. Now, probably, can anybody do this? Can any of you do, like, take up your cross? That's what this whole thing means. Can anybody do that all the time? Raise your hand if you know you can do it. All right. We can't do that. So it's Jesus who picks up that cross. And when we're hopeless, feeling helpless, can't even see the cross, let alone pick it up, it's Jesus who carries it for us. I want you to listen to the anthem today, because in that anthem, we hear and know that it is Jesus who is our strength, who gives nerve to our arms, who gives hope to the hopeless. Listen to what that means. Listen to the gospel and let that wash over you. Yeah, join the journey. For God's sake, amen.
Thank you.
as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. With all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let's pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God and Father, you give us so many blessings. Here in our congregation, we thank you for the family, the love, the sharing that goes on among members. We thank you for the staff here, Pastor Gary, Jim, Sarah, Julia, Debbie, Kathy, and all our volunteer leaders. We thank you for the opportunity to serve. Lord, we also thank you for our nation, for those who have given their lives for our country and for freedom. We thank you for the opportunity to be free, to enjoy now the beauty of creation and new life springing up all around us, plants, trees, and flowers, and around the end. We thank you, O Lord, for all these awesome gifts that you give us. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see them anew. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, continue to call us and renew us and lead us through your Holy Spirit. Open us to face challenges and sorrows, joys and surprises right in this life, in this journey. Help us to focus with new determination that only you can give. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Jesus, we keep in mind and heart all those who are sick of body, troubled in heart. We remember them especially before you. We have Gary, Pastor Gary, and all the Amic, and all that are on our hearts today. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Jesus, when we join their journey, and we feel hopeless and helpless, and that cross seems so heavy that we just can't bear it anymore, thank you for carrying it for us, a step or two, a mile or two, a month or two, a lifetime. Thank you for doing this for us and for all your children. Lead us and guide us on this journey. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
us pray. Merciful God, receive the sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving and the offering of our lives, that following the way of the cross, we may know the joy of the resurrection through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed our right and duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You called your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
This is the body of Christ given to you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ. Amen. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ given to you. This is the body of Christ. Thank you.
compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Learn three names, no 6 feet.
Well, no, I got two houses.
Yeah, yeah.